Here we go. A hodgepodge of news and entertainment today. A whole bunch. Joe said we're going in the break. I don't know what we're going to do next. Thanks, Joe. That's great. It's very comforting. It's the captain of the ship. Well, those rocks we're heading for?
Yeah.
Iceberg dead ahead.
John
Curley, Sherry Elliger show with Muckleshoot Casino Resort text line. That's how people get to us at 1-888-973-5476. Uh-oh. Sherry, look at this. This came in from management. For those of you that have won Employee of the Week more than 9 times, you cannot continue to apply for Employee of the Week for the rest of the year.
This is absolutely the worst day of my entire life. Ha, 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 ha.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Sharon?
Ha, 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 ha.
Teeny. She said, ha, 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 like, cry.
This is a disaster.
I know. How diving in.
That's what you get for being an Employee of the Week pig.
Oh. She does nice things for people. She does, like, Secret Santa. She's got a whole, leaves little potatoes around for people. And they're like, oh, who's it? And then she comes over and says hi. And, yeah, okay, fine. You just...
Okay.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Well, look at this. This shouldn't be news to anybody, but bad sleep could explain why you're anxious and unhappy. Americans, we know, don't get enough sleep. We know that people go to bed too late, or they get in bed and they just start scrolling, and then they're on their phone for another hour. And it really is, if you don't sleep well, we know you die earlier, we know you can gain weight, all sorts of terrible things that can happen to you. And this really is, you're ready to take on the day if you get at least 8 hours of sleep, 8 being the optimal number of hours in order sort of the brain. They're not quite sure why, but they know the brain kind of like processes everything through. It kind of clears everything. It resets you and gets you ready to go again for the next day. But with poor sleep, you're not able to sort of get rid of all the toxins and everything else that's in that big, beautiful brain of yours, Sherry. So more sleep, you'd be less anxious, and you would be happier throughout the day.
Yeah. Yawn. Why is this news? Every single... When I did my show in Baltimore,
I told
the producer, I am not, do not ever give me anything having to do with sleep. There is never anything new. It's the same thing. Lack of sleep can lead to bad things.
Uh-huh.
Duh. And it's all these studies that they spend time on come to the same conclusion that, yeah, you need about 7 or 8 hours of sleep to be healthy and to have your brain recover and have your body recover. So what's new? Yeah.
Well, let me throw this one at you. When you're dreaming, do you control your dreams?
I have been able to do that. Yes. Lucid dreaming. Yes.
Okay. Let's say it's deep dreaming. Rapid eye movement. Deep into the deep, deep dream, right?
Uh-huh.
The alpha, beta, whatever those waves are that you're working on.
Right.
So Rye said to me, because he's taking a philosophy class, he said, so Dad, let's assume you can't control your dreams. It's deep in the dream, but everything feels real in your dream, that is the reality, that the train is coming at you, or suddenly you've got, you know, giant blocks of cement on your feet or whatever it is. So how do we know when we're dreaming and when we are alive, awake? How do we know that what we're looking at right now, that what's happening between all of us right now is not also a dream? How do we know the difference between reality of awakeness and then the reality that we experience in dream? Could not all of life be basically our own creation of our mind?
Well, I believe it was the Mayans that believed that your dreaming life was as important as your waking life,
mm-hmm.
and that they all blend together, and that you need to pay attention to your dreams because your dreams are basically what your subconscious is either trying to get rid of or warn you of or do something like that. But yeah, I mean, if you believe in things like, you know, time is, you know, perception is reality, and that time is fluid, where it's not a linear thing, then yeah, you could believe that while you're dreaming, you're in another part of the world, another part of whatever, and that is what is happening in your life. It's all a matter of what your perspective is.
Right, but another study about dreams, you're like, ho-hum.
Well, no, not dreams.
No, sleep. Sleep, got it. Well, are you ho-hum on this one you seem to really like, the fact that that you are less likely to die if your doctor is a female. And if she is 5'6" tall, 36, 24, 36. And she has long blonde hair, and she has a giant, like, nurse's hat and a really short nurse skirt.
And, okay, and that would be a nurse.
And a weird and a weird syringe.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, just sort of sexy nurse costume.
Uh-huh.
You're more likely to live longer.
Well, not really, because that's what men would like, but it's more pronounced when women doctors treat women patients. And I'm sure there are women out there that would like that as well. But just for the sake of this conversation, the mortality rate with a woman doctor having a woman patient is about 8.15%. Now, if they had, if the same person was being treated by a male doctor, the mortality rate goes up to 8.38%. In men, it's not that much. If a male is treating a male patient, that's 10.23%, and with a woman, it goes down to 10.15. I'm sorry, it goes up to 10.15%.
Okay.
So there is some difference, and they say it's because men and women practice medicine differently.
Mm-hmm. So I really hesitated to dig into the study, but I had found that when it got peer-reviewed, what they found the differences were. And they said, yes, it's possible. First of all, more male doctors tend to be older. More female doctors tend to be younger. More female doctors also order more tests, and they might be aware of more medicines or more treatments that the older doctor that may is most likely is male might not be as likely to prescribe or to look into. So they said there's one difference there. Plus, when they looked at generally across the board, if the patient is exhibiting the exact same symptoms and is presenting whether to the male or to the female doctor, there was really no difference between the two. But one of the bunch of female physicians said, well, that's good to know, because there is a general bias still today when it comes to female physicians, especially with older patients. Like, I don't want to see an, I don't want a female doctor. I don't want, give me a male doctor. But now as people start to realize there's more females moving into the practice of medicine and more males, not necessarily, then you get rid of some of that bias and just get good treatment for it. But the idea of also, I've got a friend of mine who's an OBGYN. He said there are fewer and fewer men going into that practice because now that women are given a choice between seeing a male OBGYN and a female, they would more likely choose the female OBGYN because there's just more comfort there. So
yeah,
a lot of guys are not bothering to go to school, or that's not their field of study when it comes to medicine.
Yeah, I don't know why a woman would go to a male OBGYN. I mean, it, you know, they, women are more familiar with all of it. They also say that female doctors communicate better. They're more empathetic. When you have a female surgeon, you're less likely to die. But when you are admitted to the hospital on a Saturday or a Sunday, you have a 15% higher risk of death. And that has nothing to do with the gender of your doctor. That just is because I guess things are so busy in the hospital, or maybe you have the B team on Saturday and Sunday, and that's something to think about.
Yeah. Well, here's the difference on the surgery part. Most males that are practicing medicine that are specialists dealing with extreme cases are working with more involved, more advanced, and more likely towards mortality. So you get a specialist working. The female surgeon might be working not necessarily on some of the most extreme cases, life and death, bad decisions. You'll be going to a male doctor that is a specialist, been in the practice longer, and is probably dealing with more severe cases. A lot of times a doctor, both male or female, might say, listen, I can't handle this. You know, you have more experience. Can you take this patient on? Because, you know, the position of the tumor, or I'm not quite sure of where we are with the artery, and you've had more experience with it. And there's more likely a case that that person may die on the table because their case is that much more advanced. And most likely the scalpel is in the hand of a male specialist doctor who has been practicing longer. So maybe in the next 20 years, as more females start to specialize in medicine, have more experience, their numbers will begin to flatten out, and you'll see the mortality rate, both male and female physicians will both, you know, be the same. There was a study that had come out that showed that black babies are more likely to survive if seen by a black doctor. So that study, then somebody looked into that and said, well, actually, here's the case. If the child is in NICU and they have a higher percentage of death because they're in NICU, most likely that baby will be going to a white doctor who will be performing some type of advanced surgery to save that child's life when that child's chance of living was pretty slim to begin with. So that child dies at the hands of a white doctor performing an advanced extreme procedure on that NICU baby. But when you look at just the overall number of children that are not in the NICU and they're most likely seeing a black doctor, then they have a higher mortality rate. So you see the difference between the two. And that's when they said, well, you've got to have a black doctor see a black baby because the white doctors don't save as many. Well, that's because they didn't give you the second part of it. Most of them were being seen by white doctors were coming from NICU. Does that make sense? Does that explain that?
Yeah.
Yes. I think I did a pretty good job of breaking that one down for you. All right.
Yeah.
Let's see. Finally, the $5 million bond for a man who randomly stabbed another. We're not going to do that one again, Joe. Jeez, all these sad stories.
Looking at the wrong schedule.
Oh, got it. Sasquatch Sunset dives into our fascination with mystical creatures. Sherry, I know that you're a fan of the Sasquatch Sunset.
It's a movie that's coming out. It's with actors, but it has no dialogue, I guess. And people are walking out of the festival, you know, the screenings on the festival, because they say it's very disturbing. It says we have audio of that.
Yes.
Do you have that? Wow.
That's an actual clip.
I'm riveted.
Honestly.
I swear to God.
Yeah, there have been other Sasquatch movies, but they're often documentaries or based on
Harry
some
and the
other
Hendersons.
Yes.
But wait a minute, why would people be walking out of that? It was too disturbing?
Well, it's kind of goes into the things that they do, and I imagine that's a rather thorough investigation, so it might be upsetting to see them mate or
eating somebody
or killing to eat.
Uh-huh.
Who would want to go to a movie and sit for 90 minutes hearing?
That was really
I tell you, Sherry, why don't you jump in with Dave and Mark? They're going to do this scene. We're going to pick it up at Act 2, Scene 2. I think you've got. Do you have that? Did we give you the sides on that?
Yeah, I have it. Yes.
Okay, so you're going to play woman with blue hat. Pick it up from there.
Okay.
There we go. And Gary, Steve, here. Okay, hey, stop, cut, stop, stop. Great, Sherry. That's great. Thanks. Just if you could be a little bit more like, gosh, what's going on here? Can I hear a little bit more kind of curiosity in that? So,
sure.
Guys, we'll pick it back up from top of the two. Here we go. Whenever you're ready. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you for shit.
What a show.
What the hell is this? We're blaming it on Joe. And finally, the London man who pays $62 a month because he says, well, I save a lot of money because I live in a refurbished dumpster.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that.
Kind of cool. This company is using these dumpsters to display their art. So he got an idea that he could actually live in one of these things. He says that the average rent, I guess, where he lives in England is about $18.50 a month, and that's 75% of his salary. So he's not able to afford anything. So he spent about $5,000 and 3 weeks to create a 25-inch or 25-foot, rather, dumpster. That's true.
That's like
you could
teeny,
get 1 foot.
Teeny,
you get 1 foot in
that dumpster, teeny over there. Yeah, go ahead.
And,
yeah,
it's got, you know, microwave, mini fridge. He pays $20 a month for internet. It's kind of cool. It's pretty.
What's the smallest house you could ever live in, do you think? Smallest space. I had 315 square feet in that cabin, right? And I've had smaller spaces when I lived in New York, but you could always leave the thing. But what do you think of the smallest amount of space? Get rid of all the junk. You don't need a whole bunch of stuff. I know you got your dog and stuff, and let's say Trevor comes along. You think you could live in 150 square feet?
Absolutely not. No, no way. It's too claustrophobic. You have to be able to go into other rooms and escape.
Escape what?
Well, just escape.
Trevor?
Right? So, no, not necessarily. But, you know, it's just like you don't want to stay, live your life in one room.
We had, so my apartment is 750 square feet.
Oh, here
and it's
we
nice,
go.
But it's small.
Yeah.
There are times when you need to escape and there's just nowhere. Like, you go to the bathroom. Like, all right, I'm out of here. And then you go to the bathroom.
Yeah, that's all you can
there's
do.
There's really nowhere to go, and that's my only complaint. Luckily, we don't fight much.
Once you have like one, well, you do sort of need two spots. I found that to be like when I was in the cabin, I had to sit in the chair, then go in the bedroom.
Right.
Go in the bedroom, come back, sit in the chair. And they're like, like, am I going to read here? And then go in the other room and sit in the bed and read. So, all right. Well, you need 1,000 square feet, Sherry.
Huh? I'm gonna go closer to like
2 or 3 thousand.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. When the end of the world comes, don't come crying to me, okay?
Why? What's wrong with that? That's pretty average as far as a house goes.
You know, you go back to the time of like the Pilgrims, or you go back in the 1840s and stuff. You had like, you know, 80 people living in one room.
Okay, you go back there, you ate what you killed too. So I don't really think it's a fair comparison.
That's my point. When you know, bad stuff starts happening, like at the end of November, you're gonna want to come live with me.
Well, you have like 300,000 square feet.
Okay,
so
well,
that would be fine.
Yeah, then never mind. Wilcox Family Farm Eggs, the freshest eggs you get anywhere around. Sherry likes them hard boiled with a little bit of salt. That's Sherry though. I love them just the same. Wilcox Family Farm Eggs. This seems like a story that you would be entirely on the side of the comedian and then on the side of the television presenters, as they call themselves there in Australia, Sherry. This woman has a baby. It's been booted now twice. She went to a comedy show, like a comedian. She's at this comedy show and the baby starts to cry. Well, she tells the story. And I think, is she telling the story on like a morning talk show or something like that?
Yeah, she's, going after the guy that kicked her out, saying this wasn't fair.
Okay.
And so it's a guy narrating her appearance on a morning show or on a talk show.
Okay, here we go.
U.S. comedian Arj Barker has become the butt of jokes himself after he asked a woman with a baby to leave his show on Saturday night. Now, this wasn't the most earth-shattering story in the world, but it's a good discussion point.
Okay.
And it's the sort of yarn they like on Channel 10's The Project. And I've got to show you how they covered it, because it's given us a pretty amusing unintended punchline.
Oh, this is interesting. So we're covering a story that this guy is covering about this other story. Okay, that they're covering.
It's like news story inception.
Yeah, it's like an Escher painting, the bird turning into the fish, into the bird.
The Melbourne mum says she was left feeling humiliated and intimidated after she and her seven-month-old baby were kicked out of a comedy show. But comedian Arj Barker says the show is strictly for ages 15 and up, and the baby was disrupting the performance.
So I made the decision not for myself, for the audience who wanted to see the show uninterrupted.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's the scene setter. Then the project went on to the exclusive interview with the woman and the baby in question.
The baby.
Trish Ferrander is the mother in question, and she joins us now. Is that the little heckler? She's very cute.
It is indeed, yes.
What's her name?
Her name is Clara.
Aw, she's very adorable.
Well,
maybe
adorable,
the dingo
yes,
ate your baby.
But not so adorable that the host, Sarah Harris, didn't soon tire of her. And I kid you not, see it for yourself, she actually gave the baby the Arj Barker treatment.
Yeah, so I just thought it'd be really nice to do something that I hadn't done in a while. And just sort of get back to sort of a pre-baby me. She's super cranky right now.
Okay, maybe she can go to dad just for a quick second. But like, you know, a mum with three little kids, I reckon you need a laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be careful.
Took the baby away.
Okay, sorry, guys.
Yeah. Sherry, you have a problem with people bringing babies on planes. I get that if they're not gonna, the baby isn't going to be well behaved because nobody can predict the behavior of the baby. But taking the baby to a comedy club?
It's so selfish. And I know she wants a night out, and I know she wants to be able to go back before her pregnancy, but it doesn't really make it fair to the people that are there that want to hear something uninterrupted. It's like taking a baby to the theater. First of all, what does the baby get out of it? Nothing.
Uh-huh.
And the other people around you have to put up with it because you wanted your night out.
Would you prefer that perhaps...
Maybe the dingo ate your baby.
Would you want the dingo to eat your baby?
Dingo could come in handy.
Wow. when the guy was doing the comedy, the baby, she was breastfeeding the baby at that time.
Okay, that's what I thought. But no? I don't think that's true, right, Sherry?
I didn't see that anywhere.
No, yeah. So I think the baby was just crying, but her excuse for bringing the baby, it was that... that she was breastfeeding, and so the baby couldn't be alone. I think I have another clip here of her explaining it. Give me one second here.
Hold on there.
Make sure this is coming.
A little word of advice to anybody. You don't want the dingo to eat your baby.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Was probably the equivalent to if someone was coughing, and he sort of stopped and said, oh, there's a baby. And then at the end of this little skit he did about, oh, you know, there's a baby in the room, he sort of said, oh, I speak baby, and she said, take me outside. And at that point I was like, oh, I don't really think he was joking about that. So he started again, and he came and stood right, she made a little noise, he came and stood right in front of me. People weren't turning their heads to look at us. She wasn't screaming. She was just being a baby. She gurgled a little bit.
Okay, well, not in there. At some point she explains that the baby doesn't take formula and yada yada, and for some reason the baby couldn't be without her for the night.
Right. Uh-huh. But so then, Sherry, you'd say stay home.
I would say, yeah. Have a dingo be your babysitter.
Maybe the dingo ate your baby.
I don't understand how people can be so inconsiderate to other people. I've seen people bring babies to the symphony. I've seen people bring babies to, you know, fine restaurants, fine dining. And it's just the stress that you're... If you're considerate or concerned about other people's comfort... or enjoyment of the experience that they paid money for, you would be well aware of even the slightest sound that your baby's making, because it's not like, she says, well, like somebody's coughing or something. No, it's a baby. And people know that baby is like a ticking time bomb of noise and poop. At any minute, it could just, you know, start crying. We never took the kid out, our kids out, because we just knew, like, I just don't want to disturb somebody else, like especially at restaurants and things. You're paying money. You don't want to hear the baby over there crying. And like, well, oh, it's just babies. And even in church, I was always so concerned. And the priest would be like, oh, it's nothing more than sweet sound or whatever. But you knew that person next to you doesn't want to hear. Wah! You're trying to just take the kid out of the church into the back. A lot of churches now have just like baby areas. Hang out in the back with everybody else. You're all back there with all the screaming babies.
Yeah, but the other thing about the comedy club is the last time I checked, comedy clubs usually start, I don't know, around 9 o'clock, not in the afternoon. And so you kind of worry about the baby a little bit. Should the baby be in that environment?
That's a 2-drink minimum. I mean, there's 2 breasts. I think they'd be okay on something like that, Sherry. But okay, she just wanted to take the kid out because she wanted a night out.
Well, then don't have a baby. Or get a babysitter. I mean, really.
A recent survey yesterday, I saw this, I thought of you. 7 to 12% of people that have had children regret having children. They said if given a choice, they would have not have had the kid. When they hear from other friends that are sharing stories with them either on Facebook or directly, and they don't have kids, and they tell them all about the crazy fun stuff they've done recently or over the weekend, regret begins to build up even more. And 7 to 12% of parents say, yeah, you know what, if we had another chance, we would not have a kid.
Mm-hmm. I think it's higher than that.
I think at times it all depends on what time when you're catching the person, right? If they've gone through a couple of tough nights or the kid is a certain age, the terrible twos and stuff like that, there are some very, very trying times. But if you catch them a little later on when all of a sudden the kid starts to, you know, grow into a person you can talk to and laugh with. And as my dad always used to say, I said, well, Dad, you going to go see the grandchild? And I got to see the kid. I said, when are you going to go see, like, Chuck's kid? When they turn three. I don't need to see him. Not until they start to turn into something. So he didn't bother, like, are you going to go fly back to Philly and go see the grandkids? Nope. Why not? They don't know I'm there. I'll wait till they are, you know, wait till they got something going on. And got something going on is 3 years old, as far as my dad was concerned.
I wonder if your dad would have fallen into that 12%.
He didn't care because, listen, Sherry, I'm not involved in that baby diaper and stuff. He didn't do any of that. Like in the 50s, 60s, he never did any of that. My mom's favorite line to my father, we had lived in this house for like 12 years, and one day he yelled out, hey, where do you keep the forks around here? He didn't know where the forks were. My mom's like, are you in the kitchen? Yes, I'm in the kitchen. How do you know you're in the kitchen? Because I see the oven. Now, where are the forks? I mean, how does she... That goes to show you, that's not a guy that's like involved in sort of the domestic everyday life of homemaking and taking care of the general running of the house. Where are the forks?
Well, yeah, and that was the era, too. Men were not expected to know any of those things. That's why they had a wife.
Right. You never changed in a diaper. Because I said, Dad, you ever change a diaper? No, I don't need to. That's it. Your mother took care of all that stuff. As far as I'm concerned, you guys never had a bowel movement.
Gross.
We did that occasionally in front of him. Wow, look at you, Andrew, huh? A little electronic dance music there.
This is Prince, I think.
Oh, okay, sorry. I know what's happening. Start raving over here with some old lights on or something. Sherry?
Yes.
What I always warn you about the mailman.
I don't mess with him, okay? No, I don't.
Well, okay then. Here we go.
I never do.
Here comes the mailman.
Back. I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me.
Don't mess with him.
I'm the mailman.
I know.
I'm the mailman.
He's making it up.
Throw him over here, big guy, fella, and how about a smooch?
There you go. Thank you, Jake, for that. We'll get the letter of the day, but first take care of all the rest. Teeny, good job. All these letters, this is great the way you put all these in order. Thank you, Teeny.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Sherry, I'm sorry. I was talking to Teeny. Here you go.
Okay, off topic. Mike in the 360. 5 minutes into the show, and we have a fart drop. I hope this isn't the highlight
People are not going to take us seriously. I've seen it. There's this on an XY axis, there's integrity and then fart sounds on the XY axis.
All farts aside, you're doing God's work, my friends.
Cheryl 253 says, still no update on Teeny's origin story. Nope.
Ugh. Good. 253 on the Tesla self-driving crash. I have a Tesla. The car does not drive by itself.
Okay.
I repeat, it does not drive by itself. You must have your hands on the wheels at all time or else it will turn off the self-driving assist. My guess is he accidentally hit the accelerator.
Mm. It has two wheels, though. Apparently, that's a problem. Steering wheel.
Yeah.
253, ask John to tell the story about when he met Trump while he was Mr. Peanut. No, I'm not going to do it. No. I'm not going to tell it. Told it before.
I'd like to put in a request for tomorrow.
Sure, you've heard the story, right?
Yes.
Ding, 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 ding.
So has the Donald. All right, moving on.
All right, Dan and Maple Value on the Sasquatch movie dialogue. Since when is that kind of language allowed on the radio?
That's what I was thinking. Glad management wasn't listening. 425 on the romantic reunion with Nick in the studio. She's probably thinking about that other guy with the beard. Yeah, she probably was. But you know what? I got a beard now, so do yourself. All right.
Wow. All right, Elliot with the 5-star Uber rating.
Yes.
Given a long enough timeline, the mortality rate for everybody goes up 100%.
Thank you, Elliot. No wonder you've got that 5. But you know what, Elliot? I'm challenging Elliot. Elliot, I want to see a picture of your 5-star Uber review. Just a photo. Just show it to me because I've never seen a guy with a 5-star Uber star review rating. Whatever the word is. Paul and Sammamish. Oh, he's not letter of the day. Good for you, Teeny. Safeway and Cle Elum recently announced that they'll be offering dental care. They have an express lane for people with 12 teeth or less. Okay. All right. Alrighty. Okay. All right.
Uh-oh. And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Thank you, Teeny. Well done. Sherry.
Okay. Christy in Oregon says, the John Curley and Sherry Elicker show offers something for everyone.
Hmm.
From the mundane, like dreams and how much sleep we need, to talking to a former CIA, rest my case, to talking with a former CIA agent, talking about government surveillance, to talking with the imaginary teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar, and some inaudible Sasquatch grunting for good measure. Get it all right here.
Well, I tell you. There are days I'm sitting here thinking, whoo boy, bottom of the barrel. Ooh. But hey, we made it. We still have one more hour. You ready?
Yeah.
That's all?
I am.
Will this hour be better than the first hour? That's what I ask you.
I think it can measure up.
Let's see, baby.